إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Verily all praise is due to Allah, we praise Him, we seek His assistance. And we appeal for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from the evil of our actions. Whosoever Allah guides, there is none to lead him astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, there is none to guide him. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any associates. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his slave and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah as he ought to be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. O mankind, be fearful of your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife. From them both you created many men and women. Fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not sever. And do not cut the relations of kinship or family. Indeed, Allah is always watching over you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, O ye who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him, and speak a word of truth. He will direct you towards righteous deeds, and whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The righteous will die, the wicked will die, and those who sit at home will also die. Those who busy themselves with seeking ilm and knowledge will also die. And those people who treat others as their slaves will die. The brave who reject injustice will die. The cowards who seek to cling onto this life at any price will die. And the wretched people who live only for the cheap enjoyment of this life will also die. All of us are familiar, dear brothers and sisters, with the day of the signs of the Day of Judgment. We can see books, we hear books, we read about it. There are certain signs that we see, some of us may even see. They are mentioned in numerous ahadith by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alamat as-sa'a, signs of the Day of Judgment. However, there is another hour, another sa'a that is on an individual level, just as important that we must be aware of. This hour is described in the following hadith, which is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, and recorded by Aisha radiallahu anha. Once a Bedouin came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Mata as-sa'a, when is the hour? When is this great hour of accountability? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed. He pointed to a young boy and he said, if this boy lives, by the time he is old and decrepit, your time would have come. If this boy grows up and becomes old, you would have left this planet. Your time would have come. This is the hour that every one of us will experience and must be aware of. This is the hour that is approaching us every second of our lives. This will be the deciding time for us as our actions will come to an end. This, in fact, is our hour, your individual hour. It is the inevitable that every soul shall taste death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفُّونَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Everyone shall taste death, and only on the day of resurrection shall you be paid your full wages in full. However, and whoever is removed away from the fire and admitted into Jannah to go to paradise, he indeed is successful. The life of this world is only enjoyment, only temporary enjoyment and deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, blessed be He in whose hand is the dominion. And He is able to do all things He created, death and life. That He may test you. That He may test you of which of you is best indeed. And He is almighty, all forgiving. This is when our deeds will come to an end. After that, we can just look towards our reckoning. Therefore, the question that we must ask ourselves, and all of us must ask ourselves, whether you do it now, whether when you go home after you've had your lunch, you ask yourself, what have I prepared for that hour? What have I made ready for that hour in my life? Perhaps we should also ask ourselves to understand, what can we do to prepare for this hour? What can I actually do? In fact, the only thing that we can do to prepare for this hour is to have strong iman and good deeds, good action. The Prophet, peace be upon him, has advised us and taught us that we must take advantage of our life before death comes. And this is in a hadith. That is, we must use this life to prepare for the hereafter before death comes to us, and this life will no longer be of any use to us. If we do not use this life to prepare for the akhirah, then in fact we have simply wasted this life. No matter how much money we have made in our bank accounts, no matter how many houses we have here or overseas, no matter how many cars, how many family members, how important we are in society, it will all be to no avail if we have not done what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do. For the true Muslim, his aim, his yearning, more than a promotion, more than a salary rise, more than a bigger house, his biggest aim and concern and yearning is to attain Jannah, to achieve the goal of getting to Jannah. At that time, when we die, three things will follow us to the grave. And just imagine when you die, who will be there? Maybe your mother will be there. Maybe your father will be there. Maybe your mother and father, maybe your father will carry you. Maybe your children will carry you. Maybe your work colleagues will carry you when you die. Maybe strangers will carry you when you die. And imagine being carried. Khalas, your chapter is closed, the time has come. Our wealth, family and deeds will accompany us to the grave. However, our wealth and family, they won't stay with us in the grave. We can't take them with us into the grave. We will only be left with one thing. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, we will be left in our graves with our deeds only, our a'mal only. Our deeds and nothing else will remain with us. Deeds that we must think about. Deeds what we must think about and see whether we are doing good ones or not. Dear brothers and sisters, we must think about our hour and prepare for it before it comes. We must prepare for it before Malaikatul Maut, the death, that before the angel of death comes to us. To take our souls, we should realize that if you prepare for that hour, the angels will then come to us in a pleasing form. Now imagine this, that the angels will come to us in a pleasing form. Our souls will flow easily out of our bodies, and the angel will be calling us to Allah's pleasure and forgiveness. But if we do not prepare for that hour, and we lead a heedless life away from remembering Allah, and only giving lip service to Allah, only Muslim by name, only turning up now and then for Jummah, then our result will be very different. The angels will come to the disbeliever or the evildoer in a completely different fashion. They will come in a form that is very displeasing to the person. They will call out to the soul, to Allah's anger and punishment. The soul will not want to leave the body. It will have to be dragged out of the body. The angels have to tear the soul out of the body. Is this what we want to face? So how is it that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to save ourselves? In the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I just described, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when an infidel or an evildoer is about to leave the world and proceed to the next, the angels with dark and harsh faces come down to him from heaven with hair cloth of fire and will sit away from him as far as the eye can see. Then the angel of death comes and sits at his head and says, wicked soul, come out to the displeasure of Allah. Then it becomes dissipated in the body. And he draws it out as spit is drawn from moistened wool. He then seizes it. And then he does so. They do not leave it in his hand. The angel does not hold the spirit in his hand for an instant, but puts it in the fire cloth. And from there it comes a filthy stench, the most offensive stench of a corpse found on the face of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the taking of the souls of the disbelievers as follows. And if you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who disbelieve at death, they smite their faces and their backs, saying, taste the punishment of the blazing fire. This is because of that which your hands had forwarded. And verily Allah is not unjust to his slave. So why would a soul face such a difficult end? Why would the soul not come out of its body to go back to its Lord and Creator? What would cause the soul to hesitate and want to cling to this dunya, cling to this world? I think the answers to most of these we know. However, there are many reasons why a soul would not want to leave its body. And they may be some of the following reasons. Perhaps the first reason is that maybe our belief about Islam is weak. Maybe we are just, like I said earlier on, circumstantial Muslims. My father became Muslim, my great-great-grandfather made a decision many, many hundreds of years ago. MashaAllah, he made the right decision, and now I'm a Muslim. Maybe we are just, like I said, Muslim by our name. that we haven't studied it, we have not made a conscientious decision that I am a Muslim, and this is what I must study, and these are my obligations, and this is what I fear, and this is what I should follow, and this is how I want to lead my life. Maybe we'll just come along, the days go, the money's coming end of the month, summertime comes, I go back to my home, I see my family, I come back, whatever the routine, we just chug along our routine. But we never made that decision to think, no, I am Abdullah, I must know what Allah requires of me to live on this planet. Secondly, continually performing evil deeds and procrastinating, delaying to do tawbah. At the time of death, the soul will not be able to think of anything except the sins it committed and the wrong that it did. At that time, it will realize that it is too late to repent. Now is the time to repent. Now the doors of tawbah are open. Do we ask Allah before we go to bed, Allah, please forgive me, Ya Rab, ighfirli, forgive me. Do we turn to Allah and remember the mistakes we have made? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah only accepts the tawbah, the repentance of those who do evil in ignorance and foolishness, and repent soon afterwards. It is they to whom Allah will forgive, and Allah is ever all-knower, all-wise. Thirdly, it is very important for the ones who are younger here. This is especially for them. Some people may think that to become religious is for the old people, that I can enjoy my life. You know the kind of philosophy pushed, if it feels good, do it. Enjoy your life, enjoy it, relax, do what you want. But when I'm older, khalas, when I don't have the energy to commit sins anymore, I will go to Hajj, I will go to Umrah, I will get my slate clean, and khalas, I will go to Jannah. You are not guaranteed whether you will see next Jummah. You're not guaranteed whether you will go home and see your wife when you go back, or your children when you go back. You're not guaranteed. Who gave anybody the guarantee that they will see the next day? We live as if we are going to live forever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and it is written for all of us. Who knows who will be here next Ramadan, when our souls will be taken. So the time to the tawbah is now. No matter how old or young a person is, that person's soul will be very sorrowful, and you will feel very disappointed when the time comes and you did not do tawbah and turn to Allah. Fourthly, having weak faith and preferring this life over the hereafter is another cause for an evil end. In this case, the person at his death will have to say goodbye to the thing he loves the most, this world, or some aspect of this world. In fact, his soul will not be ready to leave what he loves. And there's an interesting incident where Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik asked Abu Hazm, one of the followers, "Oh Abu Hazm, why is it that we hate death? Why is it that we don't like to talk about death?" He answered, "You have built up, constructed this world, and you have destroyed the hereafter. You hate to leave the thing you have constructed for the thing you have ruined." Indeed, how many Muslims put all of their time, all of their energy, all of their thoughts, all of their thinking power into getting ahead in this world? And very little, maybe they pray 5 times a day, and only that time in Salah they think about Allah. Very little in preparing for the hereafter. What do you think will be their state when the angel of death comes to you? Measure yourself, ask yourself, how much time do I spend in remembering Allah, memorizing Quran, studying Arabic, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe fasting, etc., etc., numerous good deeds, and how much time do I spend doing my job? Working, dunya, duni, buy this, sell this, maybe get this, move here, get this instead. Abu Hazm was also asked how the people will be presented to Allah on that hour. And he said, the pious will be like those who have gone for a while and are returning to their family. The evildoer will be like the runaway slave returning to his master. That is exactly how those who are disobedient to Allah will be on that day. They disobeyed their true and real master, and now they have to meet him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, for the pious, for the one who fears Allah, it will be a joyous occasion, like that of a person returning to his family. The Prophet, peace be upon him, has clearly stated that if a person hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him. That person who has an evil end to his life will be sitting in his grave, seeing his place, seeing his pit in hellfire. He will beseech Allah not to bring about the day of judgment. He does not want to meet Allah, however, his pleas will not be listened to. Indeed, this time for praying, pleading, beseeching, and asking Allah and doing tawbah is over. And now he can only wait for the results of his deeds. Dear brothers and sisters, it does not have to be like this. If we are righteous and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when our souls are taken away, the angels will come with bright faces. They will come with a shroud from heaven, with one of the shrouds from Jannah, and they will come perfumed. They will take the soul out very easily, and they will say, good soul, come out to the forgiveness and acceptance from Allah. And when he does so, they do not leave it in his hand for an instant, but they take it and place it in the shroud and that perfume. And from there comes a fragrance like that of the sweetest musk found on the face of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون. Allah says in the Quran, verily those who say our Lord is Allah, and then they stick to that, they stay firm on their faith, and then on them the angels will descend at the time of their death, saying, fear you not, nor grieve, but receive the glad tidings of Jannah, which you have been promised. We have been your friends in this life of this world, and we are also your friends in the hereafter. Therein you shall have all that your inner self desires, and therein you shall have all for that which you ask for. And this is a mercy of forgiving from Allah. This person will be shown his seat in Jannah, and he will enjoy his time in the grave. This will be our situation on that hour, our own personal hour that we have to face at some time. We will either be from those whose souls will be taken easily from their bodies, or from the souls who don't wish to leave their bodies. From now, however, this moment on, we must do our best to work and be amongst those who will have a wonderful end to their lives. We can do this by correcting our beliefs, removing any doubts, repenting to Allah, and doing righteous actions. Before I close the first part of this khutbah, I leave you with the advice of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who said, go with this life behind you, and go with the next life in front of you. Each life has its children. Each life has its children. So be from the children of the hereafter, and be not from the children of this world. Today are deeds, without reckoning, without testing. And tomorrow is reckoning. You will be tested and examined and taken to account without deeds. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us act upon what I have said. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه إلى يوم الدين. I will finish this section of the khutbah inshallah in a poetic way. Sometimes you find in khutbahs in Arabic, the khatib uses poetry, and it's a very effective form. Inshallah ta'ala, I hope that some of the points made in this poem will reflect what I've talked about and make us think about this whole topic of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تُكُونُوا يُدْرِكُّمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you are, death will find you. Wherever you are, death will find you. It was early in the morning at 4 when death knocked upon a bedroom door. Who is there? The sleeping one cried. I am Malaikatul Maut. Let me inside. At once the man began to shiver as one sweating in a deadly fever. He shouted to his sleeping wife, don't let him take away my life. Please go away, O angel of death. Leave me alone, I'm not ready yet. My family on me depend. Give me a chance. Oh, please understand. The angel knocked again and again. Friend, I'll take your life without pain. It is your soul that Allah requires. I come not with my own desire. Bewildered, the man began to cry. Oh, angel, I'm so afraid to die. I'll give you gold. I'll be your slave. Don't send me to that unlit grave. Let me in, O friend, the angel said. Open the door. Get up from your bed. If you do not allow me in, I will walk through like a jinn. The man held a gun in his right hand, ready to defy the angel's stand. I point my gun towards your head. You dare come in, I'll shoot you dead. By now the angel was in the room, saying, O friend, prepare for your doom. Foolish man, you cannot kill me. Put down your gun. and do you not see? Why are you afraid? Tell me, O man, to die according to Allah's plan. Come, smile at me. Do not be grim. Be happy to return to Him. O angel, I bow my head in shame. I had no time to ask Allah's name. From morn to dusk, I made my wealth, not even caring for my health. Allah's commands I never obeyed, nor five times a day I never prayed. Holy Ramadan came and went, but no time had I to repent. The Hajj was already obligatory on me, but I would not part from my money. All charities I did ignore, taking riba, usury, more and more. I sipped my favorite wine, with flirting women I sat to dine. O angel of death, O angel, I appeal to you, spare my life for a year or two. The laws of the Quran I will obey. I'll begin salah this very day. My fast and hajj I will complete and keep away from self-conceit. I will refrain from usury and give all my wealth in charity. Wines and dines I will detest. Allah's oneness I will attest. We angels do what Allah demands. We cannot go against His command. Death is ordained for everyone, father, mother, daughter and son. I'm afraid this moment is your last. Now be reminded more of your past. I do understand your fears, but it is now too late for tears. Your parents you did not obey. Hungry beggars you turned away. Instead of making more Muslims, you made your children non-Muslims. You ignored the Mu'adhin's adhan, nor did you read the Quran, breaking promises all your life, backbiting friends and causing strife. From hoarded goods profits you made, and your poor workers you underpaid. Horses and cars were your leisure, money making was your pleasure. Paradise for you I cannot tell, for this is the unknown realm. There's no time for you to repent, I'll take your soul for which I am sent. The ending however is very sad. Eventually the man became mad. With a cry he jumped out of bed, and suddenly he fell down dead. O reader, take a moral from here. Never know, your end may be near. Change your living and make amends. For heaven on your deeds depends. عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة